Hey, Relay friends. This is Lindsay Hine. I'm joined with Tommy Runs, Marcus Brown, and Peter Bromka. Hey, guys.
Woo!
All right.
How's it going?
Happy
What's
Monday.
What's up? We've decided 4 is our special number. This is like the good vibe with 4 of us.
We're coming in a lot of time zones as well, so it's nice. I'm happy to see Marcus's face after a couple weeks away.
I think this is the first time, Marcus, I've not seen him like all dapper in a suit on the call.
So in my new house, so it's just still, that's why my regular clothes. But usually I would be wearing a suit though for coffee mornings, obviously.
But can I ask you, did anyone see, if you're listening to this, maybe you saw Marcus's amazing reel where he did this new meme where you listen to a podcast and then record yourself reacting to it. But you just looked like $1.5 million. Like you just, I was like, I wanted to know whether it was like just impromptu, like you were wearing that dapper.
No, he put that
AF outfit.
No, so Kafuzi, like the first person I saw do this was like Kafuzi, and then like people started doing it, and then everyone that did it, I'm like, hey, whatever, sure. And then but Marcus did it. Marcus went upstairs, picked out a good suit. He like looked, he planned it out, and like sat down like a gentleman. And handled business, bro. And I appreciated it.
As an American, I'm like, I start judging myself because I'm like, well, A, I don't even know if I could get to that level. But then B, I'm so impressed by your pocket square. And then I judge myself for being that impressed by your pocket square. I'm like, I should be able to do that. I mean, I have a friend who knows, but man.
Do you own a pocket square, Peter?
No.
He will now.
I gotta go get one. I'm gonna leave this recording and go down to the department store immediately.
So basically, I was listening to the conversation with you guys before, and I was just cracking up with Mike's description. And I was going to work the next day, so I thought, this has got to work together. So yeah, it tied it together. It wasn't like I thought, I'm just gonna put a suit on just to record this. That's too much effort, and I'm just too lazy. So I thought, kill two birds with one stone.
If you show up, and I mean, if we have not talked on this podcast a lot about what everyone does for work, but if you show up dressed that finely, does anyone say like, oh wow, what's the occasion? Or is it just like, uh-huh, business as usual
corporate environment, so yeah, pretty boring.
There are other people dressed like this in the office in London and no one says anything because it's just understood.
Everybody dresses
I'm down. I didn't have a tie on, so I mean, that was just down day for me.
So like pre-pandemic and back when I like worked in the office, well, way pre-pandemic, back when I was in the office in like 2014 and before, I was definitely like, I liked dressing up, you know? So like, I was definitely like a business casual scene, but I would very occasionally wear more than that. Mm. And no matter how long I did it, people would be like, going for an interview today, you know, like, and then I would say like, yeah, I got my third interview at McDonald's or something like that. You know, like something definitely not saying it's not worthy of a suit, but I feel like maybe overseas it's a little more like a mature scene because people gave me crap every time I wore a suit.
I wish I had a job where I could dress up like twice a week, but now every time I can, but then I'm like, but I could be in comfortable pants right now. So why am I putting myself through that?
You got to stretch the spectrum. Yeah, you got to cover the whole. So that you appreciate the comfortable pants more. You don't want
to
just.
Used to go to a co-working space in Indianapolis when we lived there before COVID. And I did like that because like 3 days a week I would go in there and I'd wear normal clothes. But now I'm just at home and I'm like, why am I in uncomfortable jeans? And that's me dressing up jeans.
Man, so I feel like the thing for you to do, Lindsay, and anybody, like really, if you think about it at this point in the world, just do like the fancy upper and casual bottom. You know what I mean? You know, you could be fully decked out, you know, like, and no one would know that you're wearing like basketball shorts.
That's right.
Yeah.
I feel like this half zip from Target that I got with the gold zipper here, this is fancy for me. This is a fancy sweatshirt instead of like a race hoodie you're wearing, Tommy.
It's pronounced, what? Shots fired at me.
look at that hot hoodie.
I feel like as fancy as that zip up is, it should be Target, not Target.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Target. This is a Target hoodie for
one of my favorite little wrinkles with people who post stories and then post like, oh, a lot of you have asked about this top. Let me send you. It's like when there's almost judgment back at the audience, like people will be like, people, you want this top? This is 8 years old from Target. This cost $17 8 years ago. You need to up your standards. And I'm like, I'm just clicking through like, wow. I guess people really need to, people have been, you know, asking about the old school tops that are maybe back, that maybe the retro already.
I always feel like annoying when I'm like, people have asked, here's the link. It's like, oh, I'm so popular. All these people have popped into my DMs and asked me about this shirt. Yeah.
I think that one, my thing on those like is like two people asked.
Yeah.
and like it would be beneficial if you posted a link. So it's like, y'all been asking, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like one person asked a question that wasn't really related, but somehow your answer was yes. This is all, I got this on sale, you know?
Thousands of people have been in my DMs asking about this shirt.
It's a type of dynamic that if you tried to explain it like 10 years ago, people would be like, what? Like, what is the future going to hold? People are asking. People have been asking.
And then you're like, while I'm at it, I'm going to share it, but I'm going to make sure I share my Amazon affiliate link to share it because I want 20 cents on the dollar for that.
You're all getting to hear business mind, Lindsay.
We got to have Lindsay.
Woman, Hein.
We got to have Lindsay on the behind the running influencer podcast. Oh,
absolutely.
No, I'm not very good at that.
You don't talk to her without, she's earning a few cents every time we talk to her.
I mean, for real.
Okay. So this weekend I was at the Richmond Marathon.
Yeah.
The Allianz Partners Richmond Marathon. You know, that's the thing when you work these races and you're like announcing at the finish line, you have to say the whole thing every time. So I've been saying,
and what
welcome
is...
to the finish line of the Allianz Partners Richmond Marathon.
Why do you change your accent when you say Allianz? You go Allianz.
Because
you go back to your regular voice.
It because you're so it's spelled Allianz, like A-L-L. Yeah. But yeah. I like Googled it to have them respond like to have the it said to me, and it's Allianz, and it's I think it's French. I think it's
French. I like French flair to this.
I thought she was saying all y'all.
Yeah,
all y'all. I do all say y'all. That sometimes. All y'all. Yeah, I say that sometimes. But that was fun. I had so much fun in Richmond. Richmond is the cutest little town, and I did not. You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell.
Yeah.
I did not think that I would like race announcing. I thought it sounded exhausting and boring. You stand there the whole and blah, blah, blah. But I love it. And you know when I really get into my zone is at the end.
Ah.
You get tired and then like in the middle a little bit. And then the people finishing spread out a lot more and it gets even more exciting every time someone crosses the finish line. And you get all the medical team that's waiting there at the finish line to get hype for the people coming in. And yeah,
can
it was
I ask,
super fun.
So people are coming in and like, what is, are you like looking at bibs or you, do you have a sheet? Like how's it work? What's your responsibility?
So,
I'd be like, yay, person, blue top. Like, no, not helpful.
Yeah. So this weekend in Richmond, they had some issues with their computer system and the timing company. I mean, all the people's times came in and they got all that captured, but they were having troubles with their computer system. So I didn't actually, I had no names fed to me. So I was just like cheering people in and like if someone had their name on their shirt or like someone had a specific country representation on their shirt, I would call out that. But other than that, like I had – or if I knew people, like, you know, I didn't know very many, but I knew some. And the same thing happened in Indy. Like the system was kind of – this is not a New York City or Boston or Chicago situation, you know. But it was super fun. And the guy that co-announced with me, he said that normally he does have the names feeding to him. They just had an issue with their system.
Can I give an old school shout out? Things are changing. When I got to college and I went to Tufts in Boston, and they said that back in the 90s, the Boston Marathon was smaller and they used to just print everyone who was running in the Monday edition of the Globe. And so they would have like one teammate run. They would always stand at the top of Heartbreak, my cross country team, and they'd have one guy like Marcus run down the hill and spot a bib and then look it up and be like, you know,
what,
Tommy's coming. And so then, you know, you got this guy Tommy who's like 4.332 and he's just like, get like his world's falling apart, going up Heartbreak, and then all the guys would be like, Tommy, Tommy, Tom, and then, like, people would just be like, how would you know my name? Like, why are they cheering for me? This is like, still could be done, but it's not the same with digital tools. Like, it's just not as like, anyways, that's a throwback.
Have you all ever been to the Richmond Marathon though?
I have not.
It sounds wonderful.
The finish is such a significant downhill. It is like people are just going crazy down this hill. Like, someone will be coming in at like a 5.5 hour marathon, and you're sprinting like a 7 minute mile down this hill. But I saw two people face plant, which I was like, whoa, like face plant. One before the finish line and one after the finish line. These people were half marathoners. I think in running like around the 130-ish time, probably, like, it had to hurt so bad. But this hill, I've never seen a hill like this at a finish line. I mean, it's got to feel pretty good to finish like that. But remember in the other podcast we recorded after I race announced Indy, and I said everybody was throwing up? I didn't see one puker. So I'm like, I don't know what was going on in Indy. Something in the air, but like, not one person. So I don't know.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Indy's a puker's race.
I did wonder, actually, because it is a fast, like, I think fast, like, faster times happen in Indy based on the finishing times. Like, our first male marathoner in Richmond came through at like 2:23, and the first female was like 2:40. And then the half, I think the first guy was maybe like 1:15 and the first female was like 1:20. So it is not quite as fast. So I thought maybe the intensity, I don't know.
What's the funniest thing that you commented on the day? Like, when we go back to think about like Cara, which was talking about the world champs and the squirrel comment, did you have like a similar thing?
Wait, what?
what was the funniest thing that like, that you said? On
when you're rambling for hours.
That you saw a squirrel, literally. She said squirrel, and I remember that through Tommy.
I don't remember, but sometimes I combine words. Like, I'll say like the two words at the same time, and then I just did this to my neighbor the other day. I said like hi and bye at the same time, and I said bite as she drove by.
What?
Bite?
I'm just like, my mind gets jumbled.
Can you practice? Is there like anything to take in? Like, are you like, how do you prepare for, I'm going to be on the mic for hours?
That's a good question though. Yeah.
I think with this kind of thing though, you end up just saying the same thing over and over again, because you're welcoming new people to the finish line every time. You know what I mean? And those people are, so it's probably very annoying to the people standing around you that are volunteers and the medical staff. How many times is this girl going to say welcome to the finish line? My new line that I picked up was, if you can hear my voice, that means you're almost to the finish line, because the speakers go out about like a quarter mile up the street. And so
that just gave me chills, man. Oh yeah. That was a good one. That was a good one.
The timing lady, the chrono track timing lady, actually told me that one. She goes, you're really good at this. I wouldn't talk to you if you weren't. I've seen a lot of announcers. And then I said, well, tell me your favorite line you hear from these announcers. And she fed me that. So I ran with it.
Oh, man. I love a little finish line. Like, nowadays you can get video of, you know, continuous finish line. So you can go back and see your friends finish. I actually once finished at CIM and found the video, and Kevin Sully, who works in the industry, he was like, here comes Peter Bromka with a good run for him. And I was like, have we ever met? Like, do you have any idea what my PR is? Or is that just sort of a standard, like,
I mean, I think maybe that was like shots fired at your form or something. Like, he can't be fast.
Well, without the names being fed to you, like, if you see someone come through and you're pretty sure that's like Teal Burrell came through, she was third woman finisher, and I was like, I think that's Teal, but I'm not sure. So like, I feel like as I announced her name, I almost said it like as a question. Teal Burrell. You know.
Wait, I have a question for all of you. Where do you fall on the first name on your chest?
I like when people do that.
I don't like it.
Why not?
Well, okay. So you don't like it either, Peter?
I am not a fan. I'll just quick answer. Last week I was in New York, and imagine I see Lindsay Hine running at me, and I'm like, that's totally Lindsay. And it says Lindsay on her chest. I'm like, go, Lindsay. And she doesn't even look over because she's heard 40,000 people say her name. Mm. And there's a lot of people in this Instagram world where I'm like, that's Marcus. I can't come up with his last name or his affiliation, you know? So I love when I'm like, that's Marcus, and I'm going to cheer his first name, and he's going to be like, oh, yeah, wow, that guy respects me.
I hear what you're saying with that.
That's 100%. That's what happened in Berlin, because Berlin, your first name is on your bib. And so, but it's like, it's my, the government name. So it's like, I couldn't put Tommy on there. So it's Thomas, right? So then, like, as soon as we start, number one, you're like, you're in another country. So it's like, I mean, maybe some people know me, but it's not like they're not going to know Thomas, right? So they're like, so people start yelling. And then that first couple times I looked around, I'm like, oh, okay, Thomas is here. And then you'd hear people yell Tommy, and I would know for sure that's for me. You know, so I'd look around and I'd check it out. And I was very happy to be able to have that distinguishing factor, you know?
Oh, I love
because
that.
Because if I didn't, I would have, there had been so many like moments where maybe you do see someone that you surely know, but it's 10 miles into the race and you're just assuming everyone's reading your name, you know? My friend Lance ran, and my mom saw him twice on the course, I believe. She said she yelled his name out twice. And she was like, yeah, he never even like glanced over. Like, he was so serious. And then he was like, no. It was just so many people said my name. Like, I didn't even know. Like, I just stopped looking after a while.
I have a hot take. What about the runners who do this and they try to get the crowd hype?
So when I was suffering in New York, and I did that, but it was almost towards the end. I don't normally get into that type of these type of shenanigans. But I did that. But it was towards the end of the race, and I knew that this, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I knew that I wasn't going to hit my goal at all by far. But I knew then at that moment I was around other people that maybe were going to hit their goal. And I was just happened to be with them at that moment.
Love it.
And I'm like, this is over for me. But like, I could, you know, like, let's like, we had a half mile left here. Like, let's cheer for someone needs this like little extra thing here. And it took everything I had in me just to like raise my hands twice. But like, I definitely did that. But like, when you're doing it at mile five or whatever, I mean, I think it's just like, hey, calm down, bro, a little bit. It's New York. It's already hype enough anyway.
Well, I'm like, calm down as a spectator, because I'm like, dude, I'm standing here for like 6 hours. I can't scream the entire time.
Yeah. So I never spectated a race until Chicago for real. Like, not like a major like race where there's just a bunch of different people. So like, I was at mile two, and there were people turning that corner at mile two, like doing that. And I just started cheering like 10 minutes ago, and I was already kind of over it. Like, so cheers to everybody that's out there on the courses, like that really just go after it all day long. I don't know what you're drinking or taking, but continue to do it, because I didn't have it. And yeah, those, it's always a guy. So
it's always a guy.
I was gonna say like if you know that person, but it's always a guy. And
always a guy.
Not saying his name is Chad or anything like that, but
oh no. I am just embarrassed over here, because I'm a big
you're him.
I'm like I put my fingers to my ear like, what? Can't hear you. What was that?
That's a super Peter thing to do, though.
That is so Peter.
I had a buddy. He's like a bigger sports fan, and so he likes to pull analogies from others. He goes, like, your behavior on course, if this was baseball, you'd get brushed back at the plate. Like we would be throwing the ball inside to like get you to, because that's how baseball players like chill each other out. Yeah. Like sort of, hey, step back. And I'm like, but this isn't baseball. This is marathon. And guess what? You can't keep up with me if I'm like riding the high of the crowd cheering for me.
Oh, yeah. Man. I mean,
it's probably super obnoxious.
So wait, you're pro arms in the air to get the crowd going, Peter?
I feel like, well, no, he's I have pro, to answer from the heart. I have done this, and I literally have, you know, the Boston like marathon photo. You get all like the, you pay for it, you can get like 70
you're
photos.
This? You're like doing the kiss
thing. I'm like either kissing to yes. the crowd or like the, I have photos of me coming down BC. You know, it's downhill, so you get a little oxygen, and the all these drunk college kids, and I'm just like waving to the crowd. Like I have like full arms down, arms middle, arms high. So this is how, this has occurred. I am getting older, and I'm thinking about it, my behavior more. But
what about Marcus? How do you feel about the arm, the getting the crowd rowdy?
Marcus runs in a three-piece suit, so we know
there's
he's
no
not
way.
For
there's
it.
No way Marcus is doing that.
Actually, I mean, you think about the New York first time I ran New York Marathon. That picture I took when I got my arms like, spread across. Actually, that was used for their promotions for quite a while. And that was like an impromptu moment to kind of get hyped for the crowd and to the photographer. But then since then, I try to like replicate it, and it just bombs every time. Like, don't you like you're on the downstep, your face is like that, and your arms are like that. Yep. It's like some weird sort of like hovering thing. So I was like, then I stopped doing it for a while. I've only brought it back recently. I think you kind of go to that period of like, I'm going to be really serious about this. And then you're like, I'm just going to stop taking myself so seriously and just have a bit of fun. I think it's important where you do it, because like you said, you don't want to do it too early, because yeah, it can really backfire.
Listen, Tommy's so spot on. I don't think I've ever seen a female do it.
I've seen it like in response to a hype crowd, like sure. Oh yeah, you know,
yeah,
but not like
directing
the crowd. Why is everybody so quiet? You know,
yeah,
we're at mile five. We got you know. We got 19 more, or whatever, 19. I don't, my math isn't my strong suit. We got 21 more to go, you know?
Yeah.
We're,
I talked last week about how I went to the 7 to 8 p.m. hour of the New York City Marathon with like half mile to go, I think. Bottom of Central Park South. And a woman did come by and was like, raise the roof. And I had one confetti cannon that had been handed to me. Like, you get to have one shot. And I was like, all right. Like, you asked for it. So it's super fun.
Hey, was she like, oh, here's this guy who's not running. There's Alpha Fly Freeze trying to cheer me on. It's more sarcasm than whatever else.
This guy pulls back up at 7 p.m. to blast off one cannon in Alpha Fly Threes.
Who does he think he is?
Guys, it's the fastest cheer shoe around. I don't know if it's going to be marketed to the fans on the sidelines, but for those who need to know.
If you're trying to keep up with your friends, this is the shoe to go with, right?
Yeah. I was thinking, which shoe can I stand around in that's plush, but also accelerate in case, you know, Tommy screams at me, yo, bro, what's going on?
He was just gonna not give me any love or cheer or nothing. And I had to like get his attention. I mean, he's in the middle of the course and he somehow just doesn't see me, you know?
Yeah. I was like, oh, shoot. You see, I needed that quick first step to
Tommy's easy to spot, though. Your hair makes you easy to spot.
Exactly.
It's true.
Especially running.
That I did not pay attention in Indy or in Richmond of the shoes. I should have paid attention to the super shoe situation. Like, at what point do super shoes drop off as people come in?
I never thought about that.
There was a 75-year-old man in the elevator with me in the morning rocking the super shoes. Like, I don't know what he ended up doing, but they're everywhere. I should have paid attention to it. I didn't pay a bit of attention.
Lindsay, your take on super shoes, I mean, like, your attitude about them is so mixed. Like, there's a little bit of interest. There's a lot of judgment. There's a little skepticism. There's, like, it's, like, so all over the map.
I'm so judgy. I actually, though, Peter, I have to ask you, because Glenn and I were talking about this.
I knew Glenn would come into this.
Yeah, I know. Well, speaking of Glenn, if you were running next to Glenn and you did this, he might punch you in your face.
Yeah, like, and I'd be like, Glenn, got to keep up. Hey, what's going on back there, Glenn?
Yeah, he might punch you in your face. And now I'm thinking, well, he ran my marathon PR with me. He should have been doing this the whole, because he was like, you know, pacing me as a support.
Yeah,
he should have been doing this the whole time.
I'm not talking trash about like different pace abilities. I'm saying like,
no.
I have run the Boston Marathon and you know, we're like, we're going to go straight by the Wellesley women. Like, we are flying.
We
and
are
then you're like,
not kissing these girls.
And like, you're just like falling single file into like hype. Oh, I just smashed my microphone.
Well, yeah, calm down, hype man.
Exactly. Easy. Focus.
Chill out, bro.
He slapped from the bottom. He went to the middle and he slapped it. That's what happened. Way up. Three stages. 1, 2, 3.
I got sidetracked though.
All right, so Glenn and the super shoes, where are we talking about?
Yes, I had mentioned the same thing to him. I was like, I didn't pay attention to the super shoe situation. And then I don't know why you got brought up, Peter, but I was like, I don't think he ran his 2:19 in super shoes. And he was like, well, if he did, he should do it again because it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Were you wearing super shoes?
Oh, my gosh. Do you think I was not
I can't
trying?
Remember the time. I can't remember the timeline.
Wait, when was it?
Oh, yes. Actually, I mean, it was totally ridiculous. This is not, I don't want to make this about me. I had run CIM 2018 in the Alpha Fly.
Okay. So it was
year,
super
year
okay.
and a half before it came out.
Okay.
And then in 2019, I was gearing up to run in the Alpha Fly. I know, it's totally ridiculous. It is like absurd.
I ran in the Alpha Fly before Kipchoge did, but whatever.
Well, then Kipchoge breaks too and makes. Like, so much, there was so much aftershock when he did that. Like, so many people are like, what are these shoes?
Yeah.
They basically run themselves, all this stuff. So then they were like, you can't run, no one can run any race in the Alpha Fly prototype. They're coming out in like, you know, 3 months, but like, no one's allowed to run in them. So then I had not run in the other super shoes. There's a lot of super shoes at this point, or there's at least two. So I had to switch up shoes and find a different shoe to run in for my fastest attempts.
So what'd you run in?
I mean, I was trying hard. I ran in the Nike Vaporfly.
He's
like,
just
I'm not...
an asshole about super shoes. He's not an asshole about you. He's an asshole about super shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm like, I'm not trying to like prove that I can do these in bricks. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm like trying my hardest. So yeah, no, there are many shoes. Some of them are faster than others. I'm excited to, I got the sense, Tommy, that the shoe you ran New York in is bouncy. And I was like, oh,
bouncy,
intrigued.
Yeah, it's much, it's,
what shoe?
I ran in the New Balance. Nice switch to try to put this on somebody else, Peter. I like that.
That's why you were so fast, Tommy. You had a bouncy shoe.
That was great.
You just caught yourself like,
oh,
wait a second.
Yeah, you also wore a shoe that
you
were
also
have.
Running on trampolines.
So I was running on trampolines with little small jets in the back. The New Balance Super Comp Elite V4. It is like it was a embargoed shoe, so like I wasn't supposed to show it, like so you weren't supposed to even show it like in your before race day stuff.
Oh,
but then
fancy!
Then we ran Sunday, and then Monday morning they were like, never mind, we're gonna lift the embargo because so many people had wore it and had a good time in them, so like it made sense for New Balance to like let people show it. So yeah, I wore the New Balance Super Comp Elite V4, a much better shoe than the V3, and I like the V3, but the V4 is definitely more of that like super shoe feel. And I think that like it kind of gives you that feeling of more like you're not sacrificing anything to go with a brand that you like, you know, like New Balance or something like that.
I could unpack that last statement for quite a while. That was an amazing statement.
Well, yeah, no, I mean,
you get your speed and your morals too.
And you,
yeah.
You don't have to sign a deal with the devil in order to run fast. No, it's like, it's, I mean, cause like some people like, cause even like the way people's, you know, foot is shaped and all that stuff, like sometimes like the tip top, like 2 years ago, like the shoes that you, the only shoe you had that was like really going to give you that thing, you may not be able to run in very well. But now there's so many different options and each brand's kind of like, you know, getting there, which is, and then New Balance has definitely just put themselves in a different category with this last shoe.
There's officially so many shoes that you should just go find a shoe that
just
works
try,
for
yeah.
you. I mean, like, yeah, like I think yeah, I talked about the Adidas ones. That little carve out on the toe is like right where I toe off, and it really threw me off. But other people are like, they adore that shoe. So I'm just like, we're talking about different foot strikes. And here we go. Yep. I mean, these guys are busting on me because I was testing the Alpha Fly 3 and I felt...
Who does that though? Who tests an Alpha Fly 3 as a script player? And of course they're going to call you off with it. You're ridiculous.
Well, I've been testing it and I thought...
It suddenly goes F1 with a freaking Ferrari next to it going, I'm just here, just to cruise by, guys. Don't mind me.
How many miles did you run, Peter? How many miles did you run on that?
I think I ran 10 miles around. Man, jogging in Super Shoe around New York is really fun. It's just like a blast. I wanted to say, though, like, we are in a world where, like you're saying, Tommy, embargo, you're like... There's a lot of digital media out there. So I don't know if anyone's been paying attention to the sub-elite. Those of us who've been geeking out on the sub-elite American marathon setting have noticed that many dozens of American women are running in the Alpha Fly 3 because they're all part of a Nike program of testing, which is just known. I'm not like breaking any news. I'm just piecing together dots that are all available on the internet.
I mean, it's the first time I'm hearing about it, but whatever.
I didn't know.
Did you look at Chicago? Did anyone notice? I guess Kelvin Kiptum blew the internet apart with the world record, so maybe people didn't notice that there were dozens of women behind him.
I did see a bunch of those shoes out there.
Alpha Fly 3. And they weren't even disguising them. They were just like white shoes with the orange dot on the side and the airbag.
Same thing he had, yeah.
Yeah, so those shoes are out there, and you know, it's exciting. But there's such a variety of shoes and colors and things. So, I mean, I'm still leaning into this nemesis, me and Glenn. We are arch nemesis, but...
I'd like for you guys to, like, go have coffee together or maybe a beer.
No, we're going to have to, like...
Talk it out.
Build up the hatchet first before we can bury it. Yeah, sure.
I feel like you guys should sit, like, have a beer, like, not have a beer together, but both get a beer and then play ping pong. I feel like that'd be aggressive enough, you know?
Yeah, where you're just like putting spin on the ball, like, whoa, that was personal.
He's very non-confrontational, though. He'll like spit it out to me, but like in person, he can't stand me sometimes because I'm kind of confrontational. Ooh, I think, I can get a little spicy.
That's why you're on here. That's his lie.
Yeah, I can get a little spicy, and he is not spicy. He stays out of the. Oh.
I came across some screenshots of some of those tweets I sent back in like 2019. And I was like, oh man, I sent one to Matt and he goes, that's the type of thing I would think. But the fact that you posted online, I'm like, yeah, it was not a good time. We were not bringing people together on that platform. So I'm happy that we've moved along.
Are you still on? Like every once in a while, I'll pop on and tweet something on X or whatever, Threads or whatever. What's it called? I don't even know if I'm on X.
You just said X or Threads or whatever. So
wait, X. That's Twitter.
That's Twitter.
X is Twitter. Okay. I guess I'm not threading then.
You should thread. It's a...
I have thread.
There's actually both... it's increasing and the vibes are pretty good right now. And runners are definitely trying to connect. You know, like you can tell that people are trying to recreate some of the good vibes from, let's call it Twitter 2015. I don't know. Like when runners were going, hey, I'm going to follow this guy because he's also a runner and she's a runner and we're reconnecting over there. So it's been good. No, I left Twitter cold turkey last December. I was like, F this place, I'm out.
I mean, Threads is like the same thing though, right? So if I want to tweet, do I then just copy and paste in Thread the exact same thing? Because it's essentially like the same type of communication.
This is like emotional tech support. I don't think you should tweet anymore. I think it's just a health site.
Get off tweet. Yeah.
I mean, I understand, like we talked about, Lindsay, get that bag, Hein, like, needs to be promoting it.
Get that bag. But,
the problem is, though, is I used to tweet a lot, like normal everyday stuff. And then I would sprinkle in like, oh, yeah, I should promote my podcast episodes, too, because like, why else? Like, what, you know, I'm here. Why not? But now I don't tweet like witty or random things. And I'm like, so now I just like post all my episodes over there. Nobody wants that. You know?
I'm going to go to Threads right while we're on here now. And I'm going to say, hey, what you doing? Is that a good?
Is that a good thread?
I like that.
What are you doing?
I mean, Lindsay, we should have a whole episode about it.
Done.
As a writer, the death of Twitter is really depressing. It's like a major loss because people would be in a moment of being willing to look at words, and then they would reshare essays. And so minus that, like, just understandably, when people are scrolling Instagram and you're like, check out the link in my bio for a full length essay, they're like,
that's not what Instagram's for. Yeah,
I'm not really here for that. And like, they're like, this is going to be great. And then you can tell through the click throughs, you're like, oh, they didn't go through. That's fine. Awareness. Fine.
My biggest issue though with Twitter was always the people that don't understand humor or sarcasm, and you feel like every single thing you say, you have to be like, asterisk, always exceptions though, or asterisk, don't take this 100% seriously. Do you know what I mean? And like, there was always people
you're running out of characters. Like, by the time you've asterisk, like, you have no characters.
And then it ruins the tweet. Like, it's not witty anymore because you've like kind of given yourself, like, you've pedaled back a little bit to make sure that the people that don't understand sarcasm.
This was before we got connected last spring of 22. There was a big photo of the Eugene Marathon, and a lot of people were wearing the t-shirt you get the day before.
Oh.
And I was like, I mean, a full marathon, or I guess a half marathon as well. I was like, man, I just tweeted, like, who runs a marathon in the t-shirt you got the day before?
Yeah.
And
it's a thing.
Or that's not exactly how I phrased it. I'd have to go back and look. I was both flabbergasted, but like genuinely curious. And there was such I came to learn, because this went minorly viral, that there was such an assumed judgment in the way people read it, that like all these people came at me and be like, you're an elitist, you're this. And I'm like, I'm just thinking, like, you've never worn the t-shirt before and you're going to run for hours in it?
Oh, that's like the rule number one. You don't wear anything you haven't practiced it.
Yeah, you definitely haven't practiced. The coolest thing I learned was that certainly in other countries, particularly Asian countries, it's a big community thing. Like, you get the shirt and then you all wear the shirt, and it's part of being part of the mass of runners. So they'll all wear like the same color shirt. I was like,
look,
oh, that's
you
cool.
Growing and learning.
It was a learning experience.
I interviewed Sally McRae after she won the four, like, she was on like a million podcasts, but like, I love Sally. I had to have her on after she won the Grand Slam of the 200 plus mile races that she did within 5 months. And oh my gosh, she had this foot situation. For anybody who hasn't listened or followed her during that time, she wore brand new socks on the first 200 mile plus race that she hadn't washed yet. And she never has feet problems. And this one sock ruined her feet, and she kept going. And then she did all the other races and basically ended up having like ulcers on her feet, all because she didn't wash her sock. These are socks she's worn before, but she didn't wash them. And I'm like, wow, I can't even imagine. I would have quit for sure, but
I think we're all, I don't know anyone else listening. I
wash your socks,
because I know Sally, and it was traumatizing. Like,
it's crazy,
the situation.
I don't know how she did it. She has the mental fortitude unlike anybody I've ever met.
Yeah, she's pretty wonderful. She's a very, I think she walks the line of being incredibly tough while not not being quite like, you don't know me. She's like, you know, you can do hard things. So
yeah. No, she's amazing.
I appreciate Sally.
I just didn't know that if you didn't wash your socks. Like, I've for sure ran in socks that I didn't wash before.
Man, I've got socks that I've worn 100 times and haven't washed them yet. So, I mean.
Have you ever done a marathon wearing something you've never worn before?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
I don't know,
probably like a shirt or something. I went through like a running skirt phase. That's how long I've been running. And like 2009, 2010, I was rocking the Nike skirts. They were like little, they kind of look like little tennis skirts, but I ran several marathons in a skirt. Nobody does that anymore. Maybe I'll bring it back.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think, well, the singlet I wore in New York was the first time wear.
Had you washed it?
Mm-mm. I haven't washed it since either.
What do you guys do with your nipples? Do you put Body Glide on those?
I'm about to say, like, if you just leave it at that, then like that's my business. What I do with my nipples is not.
That was a hard left turn into this podcast.
I was just thinking about the jersey because I saw a lot of bloody nips out of.
Yeah, I mean, I think this weekend. So I think that, like, I hear once Once you go bloody, you're just, it's forever, and you could go shirtless, and somehow you'd pop a leak, you know. I heard that's the thing. Like, once you do it, it's over. You can barely wear shirts. I've heard people tape them, you know, just in case, like put some tape over them, like little Band-Aids or something.
I've seen the hip guards.
I haven't had that problem.
You don't put like anti-chafing stuff on them?
No, I've never had, you know, I've worn the wrong shirt before and then had a little issue, but it was like just on a 10-mile run, you know, and it just had like a graphic. One time I thought I was being cute and then wore this graphic tee. I'm like, oh, I'm going to run with a graphic tee because I'm going to be that guy, you know? Yeah, that's not a good idea. They're a little heavier than they should be. They're cotton, and they have like a harder graphic on the outside, so it made it worse. But no race day. I haven't had. I saw this one picture. It was, I won't say the brand because I don't know if it's like a real good advertisement for them. But like somebody posted this picture, and this guy had like blood just everywhere, and the logo of the brand was very prominent across the chest in big letters. And I was like, I don't know if that's a great, you know, advertisement for this brand. You know?
Wait, but so I need to know about Marcus and Peter's nipples. Do you do the anti-chafing?
If someone just jumps into the podcast at that point.
This is the clip.
Peter's going to say like he's so fast he outruns friction to this.
Oh, no. I just use sports tape like from the drugstore. I think.
Oh, so you do. You put them on.
Oh yeah, I mean, I have all these like amazing images of me and my father after a marathon, and the real blemish on the photo is like I just came off of like the stage, you know, like with my, like people have commented like hashtag free the nipple because I'm like I've like taken off my jersey that's all sweaty and I'm like standing with my dad and I have tape over my nipples because I had a bad experience and it's part of the pre-race routine, just covered up, yeah.
He had a bad experience. We need to dive into that. You can't just leave it hanging.
Yeah, painful. And then also like the transitive property of seeing I've had friends just finish with so much blood down their jersey. I'm just like, oh, I don't want to be that guy.
There was I saw a lot of that this weekend.
Yeah, it's part of, you know, there's all these details to like nail on race day, and which is why we always say like the big long runs leading up, like practice your fueling, practice how you're going to tie your shoelaces. There's so many things that you're like, it's not a sport where you just get to say, hey, I have a timeout. I'm just going to, you could technically retie your shoe, but like if you're looking for every second.
It hurts. Yeah. Well, we ran the 500 Festival mini marathon like in 2007 or something. And that was Glenn's first half marathon. And he wore a Pizza Express shirt, which a cotton shirt that said, I get it every night. And crossed the finish line with just like blood all down the shirt.
Tempted fate.
Cotton shirt. You know, that's how like we just didn't know. We were just like, yeah, we're going to run this half marathon. I think I ran like 6 miles before and I was like, I'll be good. Just like those were the early days. Those were the days before it was all simple.
But revisit what you just said. Sally made a mistake. I've never run a 200 miler. I would assume it's the type of event where you could just stop and be like, I'm going to change my socks. But, you know, in the heat.
I think it was already too late.
Yeah. But those big longer races like that, there's big sections where you're not.
Don't see anybody.
You have to run. You just got to. And if it started at mile like 5 of like a 20-mile segment, I mean, it is what it is. When, you know, once you get there, the pain is the damage has already been started, you know.
But if you're hiking, I mean, it's a big thing in the hiking world. I don't do a lot of hiking. like you're supposed to settle into hiking, into your hike, and then like when I did it with a guide years ago, and they're like, if you have any hot spots, like stop and, you know, don't just barrel through because that'll make the rest of your experience horrible. But yeah, the intensity of even a 200 mile race, like you're saying, Tommy, you leave that aid station and you're like, gotta catch that person and make some bad decisions.
I gotta be honest. Whenever I am not interested in hiking, I think I would be so bored. And so in a couple weeks, I'm going on a kayaking thing with my friend. She's moving to California. And she's like, I have this on my bucket list. I want to do this before we leave. Will you do it with me? I'm like, of course I'll do it with you. And we're kayaking like 10 miles. And I'm like, how far is that? Like, how long does it take you to do that? And I'm, and it's like an 8-hour trip. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be so freaking bored, but I'm trying to be outdoorsy and supportive and live in the moment. But I'm also like, this is going to be really boring.
Wow. You might be really sore too if you just go from zero to an 8-hour trip.
That's what I'm saying. It's like this guided kayaking thing. And like, I want to be the kind of person that wants to do things like that. I want to spend time with my friend. But to me, it sounds like, you know, what an 8-hour hike would be to me.
Yeah, 8-hour hike just sounds so not fun, you know? To me, just in general. I don't care what views are along that 8-mile hike.
That's what I'm saying. I want to be the person that's like, but look at these views and one with the outdoors. But I'm
I got a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take. It's just a personal pet peeve of mine. Walking in general. I don't like walking. I don't like walking like my car is like from where my front door. My car is maybe like, you know, 30 meters or something like that. I don't know. Marcus probably knows meters better than I do. I sometimes jog to it just because like I don't want to walk. It's weird. Walking seems so stupid.
I feel like you're my people. I'm like, here we go. I a few years ago posted I had done this trail run along the Oregon coast and it's just the most beautiful area. And I was like, guys, I just jogged it with a friend and it was so fun. Like, walking this trailhead would have taken forever and it would have been like, it's just as beautiful. So I'm happy for the hikers to come after us because I am all about even like slow, your slowest running just feels so much more invigorated.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying anything bad about people that like walk ever in races or not in races, but I mean more of
that
like
asterisk in there. Get that asterisk in there.
More of like a personal thing. Like if my kids say, "Hey, let's go to the mall," I'm gonna probably say no, not because I don't want to go to the mall. It's just because I don't want to go to the mall because walking will be involved. You know,
I want to see you jogging from store to store.
Yeah, I feel like if they were like, "Hey, Dad, let's go jog around the mall," I'd be like, "Oh, okay." Like, we'll get to where we're going faster, you know, stuff like that. But I know that, like, let's just say I signed up for a 100-mile like trail race or something, right? I know for sure that walking will be my friend at that point,
right?
But until that moment, walking just for recreational purposes just doesn't seem like my jazz. Like, I'd rather drive or jog or bike.
Do you guys want to break you and walking for the moment until you reconnect and find that love?
I need to take a break from running and maybe do some more walking.
There was a great post-race interview with Jim Walmsley after he won UTMB, and he was like, you know, there's definitely some sections where you need, like, for efficiency, you need to walk. I mean, power hike. I can't believe I just said that. You know, Dylan Bowman's like, oh, yeah, we'll cut that out. Like, we don't want to admit that, you know, we have more hardcore terms for walking around this mountain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Dylan's like, hey, man, we want to make you sound more elite than, you know, as elite as you are. So, yeah, for sure. Is everybody done, like, racing for the year?
Yes.
I don't race, so.
are you working any? Are you working any more races the rest of the year, Lindsay?
Oh, no, yeah, I'm done. Thank God. Okay. I'm happy to be done.
Yeah, so I got like one more thing, and I know Marcus, you're back on the you're on the mend, so you're probably racing in the spring next year. But I want to know because I mean, especially Pete, like I'm always like everything. All my questions are aimed at Peter, just because it's just fun to ask him. Like, how does a sub elite, you know, go about picking their races?
Peter's just like, I'm going to Boston.
Yeah, but I mean, Boston.
Austin just pulls me in. Like, I can't not. There's just like this force field around. Like, my friends are like, you're not signing up again. And I'm like, charge the credit card. Here we go. So, I signed up for Boston again. It'll be my 9th Boston. I'm like, you know, to be totally honest, in years past, my answer would have been different. What I would like to do is be like, okay, Boston, and then I try to set up a series of races that best prepare me for that. I was telling someone the other day, there was a 10-kilometer race on the track in March here in Portland for a couple of years that was just dreadful. And it was put on by some friends. It would often be cold and windy. But I think we can all use some race on our calendar that we just know will be so hard, but like short enough you'll get through it, that it for years became my like this hard thing I would do, and then it would be the mental space I would go to during a marathon. I'd be like, okay, just got to count down the quarter miles like we do on that track 10K. And it sounds totally psycho when you're saying it to anyone who's not like really committed, a really committed runner. Certainly wasn't like pitching that to the other parents at my son's school who are like looking to get into running. I'm like, no, this is dreadful. But I know that we would do like a local Shamrock Day run, either like a 8K or 15K, just like pure racing leading up to Boston. And then that 10K that was just like dreadful. But in the Boston area, actually, there's a whole series of races that they've kind of spaced out leading up to the marathon in April. So there's like a February, I don't know, like an 18 miler that, or I forget when these are, I'm going to botch it, but like they're the perfectly spaced out for those racing Boston. There's a half marathon, maybe like 7 weeks out that people hit really hard with like a long cool down kind of thing. So a series of races that, you know, give you that chance to not feel like, oh, the only thing I'm doing all spring is this one important race. I think that can be kind of too much for people.
I think that that's actually a cool thing. Like Peter, like having like those other kind of like having like other target, well, not target races, but races that you do leading up to a bigger race that you're going for. Because I think like that kind of keeps it fun. And for like the casual runner or just, you know, someone like myself that's just doing it for fun. I think in the beginning of my like running thing, like, it was all serious and about like one race, you know? And it was like, okay, you know, qualify for Boston. So I set this one race and didn't do anything in between. It was all on that. And then the next year it was like, okay, Boston's coming up. And I didn't do anything until like, it was, you know, this whole year apart from these, you know, having like a, having, you know, racing. But then as like the influencer part kind of came in and you start having more
opportunity. Gets a little uncomfortable.
No.
He was like, should we say influencer? Should I let tongue?
Yeah, as that part like to starts to come into where you like start to have opportunities to do other things, it's like, you know, well, why not? You know, like let's have some fun. But like that was like kind of like lessons for me to like to just, it's okay to just to race a bunch if you want, you know, like leading up to like a goal race, as long as it's like in your plan. And you can like kind of plan it out so it's not just random stuff and you're using up all your fitness every now and then. But like it's fun to have some fun leading up to the race. So like I'll pick my bigger races based on like a goal that I want to get to and like what course would be good for that maybe. And then the rest of the stuff in between is like if I see an opportunity to have some fun and go like to a to a 10K or like a half marathon or something, why not? Like have some fun.
If New Balance is like, here's a bib. Go to this race.
You want some embargoed shoes? And can we serve you caviar?
Yeah, I mean, that's how like the redemption tour kind of happened. Like, I had time qualified into Chicago, so that was the only race I was gonna do. But Boston 2022 is terrible for me, so I had to like sign up for Erie Marathon, which is a great race if you're trying to like BQ. It's like right before the cutoff. It's a flat, super super flat course. So I like, then I had two marathons and then New Balance was like, hey, do you want to run New York? I'm like, all right, let's make a t-shirt.
Do it. No, I think that's great.
Do you guys like know the Rolling Stones and stuff like that? Are they always on tour? I kind of feel like Tommy's like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
How long is this retention tour going on for? Have they got still touring? Are they not dead yet?
right. How are they still doing this?
Redemptions do you need? Like, when will you finally be satisfied?
Never. I'm gonna have a farewell tour every year for the next 50 years.
But you also had, you had a great story last week, Tommy, where someone asked you on, like, asked me anything on Instagram, like, how do you deal with the post-marathon blues? And you were like, guys, like, you know it's going to come, plan for it. Like, create, mm-hmm. schedule an event or book another race, you know, like a lower key race. Or, you know, I think that's super key, whether it's a vacation with your family or whether, and your friends, or like something outside of running, or just a running thing that seems lower key. I'm thinking about that, like, what are, if I'm fit in Boston next April, let's assume, what's some other stuff I could do in May, June, coming off of that, that just like mix it up and plan for
it. Yeah. Yeah. I think, because I think like marathon blues is like a real thing. Like, I mean, it sounds like really like dumb. Like, if you're not a runner and you just like, it's like, what do you mean? It's like, oh, you get sad after you do, you know, whatever. But it's like, there's like months of like purpose, you know, and months of like dedication that you're like putting into this one thing, whether you hit your goal or not, you know, on race day, it's like all of a sudden all that just kind of goes away. And it's like, well, what do I, you know, do I still identify as a runner? Especially if you have to take a couple weeks off because of, you know, you just ran a marathon. It can be tough to like snap back into like that productive feeling and like that drive that you had before. So it's like, if you know that you're going to run a race, you know, schedule something, you know, schedule something that you're looking forward to after, or make a point to dedicate the week, the couple weeks after, to something, you know, like, okay, well, I'm gonna do a bunch of stuff with my kids, or I'm gonna do a bunch of stuff like around the house. Like, this is what I'm gonna do with this energy after I run this race.
My favorite thing back in the day when I used to try to run fast, I would always schedule, like, I would always do my goal race, and then like a month later I would like pace somebody, or, you know, just like, this is my for fun race, like not running hard at all. I did that pretty much every time. I feel like I would run hard.
That's super
I would
fun.
Always, because then you're like then I remember one year I did that, and then I tried to pace my friend to break 4 hours. It's like, always have something that's like, it's like the party, it's the celebration.
I mean, I have friends who are like, Peter just ran a marathon. So he's going to be taking his running more easy. Like, he's going to start booking runs with me. Like, there's friends I don't run with that often when I'm really focused build up. And then they're like, oh, here he comes. Like, but so I think it can be something as simple as like, what are routes you don't do when you're focused on training? You know, there's some like really hilly, muddy runs around here that I probably don't do when I'm gearing up for a specific race. But then I'm like, oh, it's a beautiful route. Like, I should go hit that. I do worry about people who, I mean, so many people around New York, biggest race in the world. And then now it's the holidays, like sort of the gear up for the holidays. And people could be like, well, I don't need to run right now. And you're like, well, if you like, if it's part of your life now, and you've, for a lot of people, they've sort of made it a part of their life in a new way leading up to New York. And I think it's important to maybe not peace out from your family for 4.5 hours, but like, you know, prioritize it.
I just want to acknowledge that Tommy called himself a casual runner. I don't think you're a casual runner, Tommy.
Yeah, of course I am. maybe casual plus runner or something like that. I mean,
casual plus.
I'm not
casual
I'm
plus. Not... Let's start using that.
We gotta make that t-shirt casual.
Yeah. Casual plus.
I mean,
I love that.
I did this whole like rant just a little bit ago about not walking, and like, I walked like 10 times in New York. It's like, I'm super casual.
That is a very casual thing. You are very casual plus. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Say, the pace you
not
were going
not a jogger,
when you spoke,
not an elite. Yeah. I'm casual plus.
When you ran by Erin Azar and were able to interact with her, I was very thankful.
I love that.
For that one moment that your race was not on the rails, because I was like, we would have missed out on this amazing moment.
What did Erin say to you again? I watched that video, now I forget.
So here's how it really went. She runs, like, I saw her at the corner of my eye. She's like, Tommy! And then, like, I, like, veered over to get closer to her. And then she said, like, what's it like to have Riz, right? And I'm not as close to hip, I think, as people think, maybe, possibly. So I was like, what? And then she's like, Riz. And I'm like, she's like, charisma. You know, they edited it very well. And then I'm like, oh, okay. It's a burden. It's super heavy. Sometimes it's tough to carry, you know, like, and you know, I feel that, you know, and that's probably, yeah, maybe I had too much Riz going into New York City.
But you have kids, you Tommy. All the kids talk about frizz.
No. What? I mean, okay, no. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Say if what you want to say.
I don't know if it's hit. I don't know if it's hit my kids.
Okay.
Okay. Yet. I don't. Maybe. I'll ask my daughter. She's 16.
She knows what it
I'll
is.
I'll ask her. And I guarantee, I'm like, hey, do you guys say Riz? She'd be like, no, we don't say that.
I mean, it might be younger kids, honestly. That,
maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
It might be younger
kids. I'll ask.
Oh,
I'm
going to
catch some random 10-year-old. Hey, kid, what's Riz? You know? But that was a really good moment, though. Like, and honestly, no one asked me this question. I think I should start a podcast called No One Asked Me.
Karen does already do that, remember?
Yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah. It'll be
Lindsay just explained the joke for those listening at home.
Thank you so much for explaining that for us, Lindsay. You know, I think that, like, so for all of us that, like, really put a lot of work into races, and whether we're trying to break six or five or finish, but we wanted to set the day up for like a better experience. And then that day comes and it's really tough to, like, it's not happening. And it just seems like at one point today isn't the day that you really thought it was going to be. And you've been working for 3 to 4 months. It took me like a really bad race in 2022. And I acted like a baby the entire time. To then, like, fast forward to, like, having a crap day in New York City. And at one point, I just had to realize, like, you know, I'm just doing this for fun. Like, I chose to do this. It's not the day that I hoped for, and I'm really upset about it. But at the same time, like, try to have some fun in these moments. Because, you know, like, someone on a podcast or someone commented and said that, like, you never know when this last time could be your lifetime best ever, you know, going forward. You never know. So just enjoy those moments. So, like, no matter what's happening in the day, like, find a way to have some fun. And then that whole, fast forward, like, or rewind 2 years ago, there's no way that, like, Aaron would have caught me in a good mood at that moment to be able to, like, say something and have some fun. So I don't know where that rant just came from, but, like, it's really easy for us to get down on ourselves and, like, be super bummed and really mad about it for like a month to come and have a redemption tour and all this other stuff. But it's like, it really isn't that big of a deal. And if you're able to have some fun, it's easier to get over it. You can still learn your lessons, but move on and still have like a healthy relationship with this, like, marathoning or racing or running.
You're talking about relationships. You're talking about running. It's got really deep.
All of it, bro. All of it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, isn't running like everything pretty much, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, had you been having a good day in New York and you were like on pace and she did that, would you have been like,
I probably would have like done like a Peter and pointed and kept moving, you know? Yeah. I mean, cause at some point you got to you're still like, oh, my goal's like right there. Like, I got to go get this.
You were like a mile and a half from the finish. It was like, it would have been really intense.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is like, yeah. No, it was even closer. She was like at 600. I think she was like at 600 meters.
Oh,
yeah.
She was. Dang.
She was like in Central Park the second time, I think.
Oh, wow.
Or she was somewhere else and I was so out of it, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was late in the race. So,
yes.
No, I think those things, it's great perspective. I mean, I had a buddy, how do I say this succinctly? A guy I know, he went to Chicago and I knew because I jogged with him and like, what's your goal? That he had kind of blown up. You look at his splits and you just say, like, just definitively, if I took all the numbers away, you would look at the splits and go, that person slowed down at the end in a way they probably weren't planning for. And the Chicago, it's not like suddenly a hill, but he was, he's run a lot of marathons. He's in his 40s and he was able to keep like super positive about it. Told everyone he had a like nice time in Chicago. And so there were teammates of his who were like, I was like, you know, he didn't have a great race, but like he kept his head on his shoulders. And they're like, oh, and I was trying to say it, not like a, did you know he blew up, but more like, I want, because these people were heading into their own races. And I was like, I want you to know that like the fact he ran probably like, I don't know, 3-5 minutes slower than he wanted to is not material to the, like the larger experience that he shared with everyone. And they're like, oh, cause I wanted them to make sure that if the clock started to slip, that the pace started to slip, they are not like, everyone's going to know that this, you know, it's like, we control so much. Right. It like go to, I always go back to Laura's like amazing
nobody cares stickers, because we all super care, but it's also like there's bigger context.
Totally. Yeah,
and it's not like no one cares about you. It's like no one cares that maybe you missed your time. And if they do care, then they're just, you know, they're just not the people for you. But like, I mean, people just want to see you have fun and all that stuff. And a lot of people, a lot of us have like family members that have supported us for like this whole training block thing. And they maybe even come to the race and spend money to be there. And like, they see you and you're having a grumpy day, you know, it's like, you know, at least give the people that like, that came to support you, like a smile and a wave and have some fun a little bit. It's tough in the moment, but I'm just saying like, we all can like lighten up a tad and maybe it'll just be like a little more fun for us in the long run.
But my thing with the one cares, I'm like, I don't care that no one cares. I care.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the whole point. Yeah. Like, I don't care that you don't care that I PR'd, but I care.
Yeah,
I
same, to same, same. But I think a lot of this whole, like, internet thing,
a lot of the pressure
probably is because we think people, like, are going to judge us or something.
Oh, like I saw what the training they did. I can't believe that it went that way. Or, oh, I'm not surprised. She totally overtrained, you know?
Oh,
100%.
Oh, so you're talking about.
As you guys are talking though, I'm like, man, if I ever try to run a fast marathon again, if I ever do that, I got to set this up so that it's a marathon where y'all have already done your races and I can get like Peter in the super shoes jumping in, Tommy jumping. I need people, you know, support here.
The hype is true.
I'm so rusty. I haven't run a marathon PR in over six years.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, you got more in you. I mean, it's just like, I wanted to say that as well. It's like, I think it's important to have the people around you who understand the context and you're allowed to be disappointed with them and be like, oh, man, I really thought I was going to break that barrier and it didn't happen. And then you strategize and hopefully they're close enough that then you're able to be more detailed and not just be like moping.
But
you don't want to pretend. We put too much. I think it's just like, particularly with the internet, I feel like the internet is the subtext to a lot of what we're saying. Like a lot of, as we put these goals out there and like more of these anonymous people sort of know that we're building up to it. Like the pressure gets to a lot of people and they're like, and I'm like, oh no, you can't actually run a marathon if you're like super nervous and tight like that. You got to like, you got to be able to flow through it. And
that's why people don't put it out there.
Oh yeah.
Like they'll just show up at a race and you'll be like, I didn't know that person was going to be here today.
But the thing is though, that doesn't really work for social media as well. And like, you have to kind of tell that story and people want to be invested. But as we all know, marathons don't always go the way that we want. I mean, we have that one unicorn race and the rest of them are pretty dire, to an end. I feel like I'm just going to go like the sandbagging route and just be like, how's the training going? Oh, it's okay. But that doesn't work for social media. You can't just be like, oh, it's going okay. You know, it's rubbish weather. I don't know how I'm going to do. Like, people want to be like, oh, that workout, I crushed that workout. I was so good out there. I feel so fresh. You know, you've got to tell all that stuff. So it's a bit of a story sell, don't they? If you want to be like, a bit.
I mean, I like what you're saying. Yeah. Well, you're acknowledging, like, if you're going to tell a full story, you know, you want to tell the beginning, middle, of the end, and you want to honor it. And it's like, I mean, we don't need to go down this path, but I've gotten super riled up about pros that are, you know, posting like, I'm going to be racing here. And then they never follow up. And I'm like, not that social media is everything, but I'm like, I'm just trying to be a fan of yours. And like, you don't post anything to follow. Like, it makes me feel as the fan, like, kind of lame. I'm like, oh, I was like, I commented like, good luck, we're rooting for you. And if you never follow up with, and that, you know, I get it. No, people don't always want to lean into excuses and like they trip on their words, but I'm like, well, no, like we understand it. I hear what Lindsay's saying about people who show up at races. Like if they normally talk about it and share it, if they show up unannounced, it could work. But I feel like sometimes those people are so far inside their own head about it that they're like, I'm doing this incognito. And you're like, man, you're just in a state of stress as opposed to like, you know, we've all seen the people who are like, I'm racing. Awesome guys. This is, there's so many elements to unpack. I feel like we're going to have like an end of the 2022. Oh, we're already in 23 retrospective. Cause like there's so many things I want to think about next year, but there's like, it'll be fun to revisit the stuff we've covered this year.
For sure.
Yeah, man. I'm looking. Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to continuing and talking about more racing.
I like the three of us. Three of us. Lindsay just dipped off, but like the three of us still race. So it's like the other. There's definitely like the who's still throwing it out on the line, and who's like, no, I don't really race on relay. There's a divide there. It's fun to hear different perspectives.
I gotta for Marcus. I got a race tour coming up in 2024. It's not a redemption. It's not gonna be called redemption though, Marcus.
I'm looking forward to the new name.
You're gonna have to make sure it's with like a printed pocket square, like a yeah. So it looks him, like yeah. You're dressed up.
Marcus, it's gonna be yeah. Like the revenge tour.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna make one specifically for you. It's gonna be a button up. It's a button down. Yeah. And I'll make sure that you get one just for you.
Good stuff.
Awesome, guys.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Peace.